This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
And a good morning to you. Right now the time is 8:12. That temperature outside is holding at 75 degrees. Nice and cool out there this morning. Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Crispin joins us. How are you this morning?
I'm good, Scott. I think record temperatures again today, if you can believe what the forecast says, 102-ish, although that seems like a cool wave after what we had several days last week, but still going to be warm. Maybe cooler temperatures Monday and a chance of some rain we hear.
So thank goodness for that.
I'm telling you, I think with the drought and the dry conditions and everything, we've all been concerned, I know, about the holiday season, but thankfully all of that went very, very well, and got that shower the other night right before celebration of the stars, and I think that helped the fire department and helped everybody enjoy that evening ceremony a whole lot better.
Did you have to issue any citations for people shooting off fireworks on 4th of July?
I think there was one issued. Now, we answered a lot of calls, which we typically do, and I think there were more calls this year because of the ban that was put in place, because people were rightfully so very sensitive to the conditions, and I think that caused them to call perhaps at a little higher rate than what they have in the last year or two. We did not issue any citations to speak of, and there's a couple of reasons for that. As I was explaining to somebody yesterday in an email, 9 times out of 10 when the police respond to a fireworks call, when we get there and obviously when they see us arrive, they've either stopped shooting fireworks by the time we get there or they stop when we arrive. And as is the case with any of those situations where you have misdemeanors, they have to be committed in your presence. So you have to be able to see who it is that's the violator so that you can cite that person. The other thing that we normally do, if we have loud parties, loud music, any kinds of complaints at residences, normally we'll try to warn people the first time we're there. And then if we go back again or if there's an egregious violation, then we'll cite folks. And I think during this year's 4th of July period, we had a number of complaints that were logged with the police department, and we responded to a good number of calls, but I don't think we had any repeat calls. Once we went there once and either warned them or made them aware that there was a ban in place, then typically that ended that problem, and we didn't have to return to that location again. So
that's good. No fires or anything like that?
I think when I talked to the fire marshal yesterday morning, I know they had, I think, 8 or 10 fires through the holiday period, but they were typical kinds of things. I think what I saw reported this morning was that there might have been one grass fire reported, but the others were things like, grills that caught on fire, grease fires at restaurants, those kinds of things. So thankfully, we appreciate very much our citizens and our visitors to our city that observed and took heed of that ban and were very knowledgeable and concerned about the dry conditions, and hopefully they went to celebration under the stars and enjoyed the professional display, and as a result of that, we didn't have any more problems than we did. We appreciate that very much.
Whenever the city council proposes and they actually pass a ban at the last minute like that, like they did on Monday, mm-hmm. How does that affect the police department and what they do the rest of the week?
Well, I think one of the things that we expected would happen is that calls for service would increase simply because people were concerned about the weather, concerned about dry yards. I had an email from a lady yesterday who was talking about the crunch of the grass under your feet when you walk through the yard, and I think that's everybody across Rutherford County probably has experienced that. So we knew that the calls would go up, and that on top of, I think, what we normally are prepared for during the 4th of July holiday season. Obviously, we have a lot of people in town for the fireworks show. We have visitors here for other kinds of events, people that are coming in just to visit relatives for the holiday season and so forth. So we've modified how we approach those assignments in recent years. This year, our 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. shift and our 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. shift We put them all on 12 hours for the 3 days during the holiday period. So we had them coming in at 2 p. and working until 2 a. And then the night shift was coming in at 6 p.m. and working until 6 a.m. So we had kind of a, you know, an overlap staffing situation right there during those peak call load areas to help us answer fireworks calls, to help with Celebration Under the Stars. And then obviously during the holiday season, when normally you'd have fireworks that were authorized to be shot, as you recall, we've had some problems in the inner city areas, you know, in the last 5 to 10 years, and so we're always vigilant for that and trying to make sure that we don't have any problems there. And thankfully, again, this year we didn't.
So nobody's shooting fireworks at each other this year like last year?
Well, actually back to 2009, that was the year that the mayor and council, in their wisdom, outlawed mortars in the city of Murfreesboro. If you remember, I mean, everybody loves to see those mortar shells and those florals, you know, that launch 200-300 feet in the air and then burst and give you such a beautiful display. But what had happened here back in 2007-08, you know, in that stretch of time, was people had weaponized those mortars, and they were beginning to shoot them at each other, shoot them at the police, shoot them at houses. We had a couple of houses caught on fire. And so we went to the council and kind of pled a case to ban those or make those illegal in the city of Murfreesboro. And they did that in 2009, and immediately in 2009, 10, and 11, we saw dramatic decreases in the numbers of fireworks complaints in the city. And it went up dramatically this year, but I think that was in response to the ban and the dry conditions.
Now, even though those were illegal in the city limits, the fireworks stands still sold them. Is that right? Or
fireworks generally?
The fireworks stands, they still sold the mortar.
They can't, not in the city.
They can't sell them.
Can't sell, possess, or use mortars or there's some. I'd have to go to the ordinance and reread it, but it's single shot mortars and reloadable mortars particularly. And then I think there's one class of rockets maybe that you can't shoot or sell inside the city. Of course, people can sell them outside, and when you drive by a lot of those tents just outside the city limits, that's what's on the marquee, as we have reloadables here. But you can't shoot them in the city. And again, I think the idea is very densely populated city, urban area. And as I heard one of the councilmen say the other day, Councilman Smotherman, I think, you know, not only do you have the concern about them being misused, but then the other thing is, in a densely populated area, you have a lot of firework debris that falls on people's houses, in their yards. I heard somebody in a news report yesterday that was talking about just now getting their pets calmed down from all the fireworks noise and so forth and so on. So there, you know, when I was a kid, I shot fireworks. I worked in a fireworks stand. I worked for people that sold fireworks. And I think they're a wonderful part of our holiday tradition to celebrate our independence. But I think when you get in a densely populated urban area, then, you know, it creates a different set of issues and challenges than what you have when you're out in the country, or if you're in a controlled area like where the celebration shoot was out at SportsCon, where you have an open area and a fall area where that debris can fall.
And the window to shoot fireworks off has narrowed over the years.
It has.
Do you ever foresee that changing and them banning fireworks altogether?
Well, I think it's always a possibility. I think, you know, the fact that every year you have hundreds of people in the city of Murfreesboro that complain about fireworks, I think everything from having, as we said, debris on their roofs, debris in their yards, people, neighbors perhaps not being as safe with them as they'd like to see. I think those are all issues that our city officials, elected and appointed, continue to have to address. Certainly this year with the drought, we had a different set of issues than what we've experienced previously. So I don't know. I think ultimately that's an issue that the mayor and council have to ponder, and I know they have in the past, and I think they are giving that some thought again even now in light of the drought that we've had and the circumstances that created.
Well, I'm glad everything went okay over the 4th of July and no serious injuries or anything like that reported.
Well, it's a holiday, and it's meant to celebrate our independence, and and spend time with family and friends and enjoy time away from work. And I think that's what everybody got to do this year, the drought notwithstanding, and that's a good thing. That's what we want to see.
Whenever the holiday falls during a weekday, are there an increase in DUI arrests during the week, or did you see a big increase in DUIs?
I don't know that we saw a big increase. I think anytime you have people that are away from work for an extended period, now I think you probably have a greater chance of seeing that, Scott, when you have a 4-day weekend or a 5-day weekend, as it might be, depending on what day the holiday falls and what the working routine is for most of the working public. So, you may have a holiday that falls on a Thursday and people take that Friday off as well. So now you got 4 or 5 days in a row. Wednesday is a little different because most everybody had to get up and come to work yesterday.
Yeah.
So I don't know that we saw a spike or any kind of a significant increase. I do know this. There are THP pushed a new campaign. I know you all probably carried it in your media releases Monday, I guess. No Refusal Weekend, where they were talking about some of the new laws that have been passed that don't allow for drunk drivers when they're brought in to refuse testing. And so I know the THP had to push out a lot of the law enforcement agencies around the state. Obviously make traffic safety and DUI enforcement, traffic enforcement, all of those kinds of things a big part of the holidays, because as was said down there in the press release the other day, the worst thing that we ever have to do is walk to somebody's door and tell them that a loved one's not coming home because they were involved in a fatal crash. And anything that we can do that stops that, that curbs that, that decreases that, is a good thing, and DUI enforcement's a big part of that.
And I understand there's going to be a DUI sobriety checkpoint both tonight and tomorrow night by the Highway Patrol, I believe both in the county.
They are, and that's one of the things that was a rollout as a part of their No Refusal Weekend campaign. And Rutherford County wasn't a part of that initial effort. I think Davidson, I can't remember, I know Davidson and Warren County in the Middle Tennessee area, and I want to think they had 3 counties in East Tennessee where they actually were going to have judges or judicial officials on hand to issue search warrants as a part of this new statute that allows for the issuance of a search warrant to obtain testing when you have a DUI suspect that refuses to test. So that was part of their pilot program, but still in all, they also had roadblocks planned for a lot of other counties across the state, and ours was one of them.
Our phone number is 893-1450. If you want to call to go on the air with the chief, then feel free to give us a call. Again, 893-1450. We'll go ahead and head to line 2. Good morning. Thanks for holding. How are you?
Hello.
Hi.
Looking for Scott.
Yeah, you're actually on the air this morning.
Good morning, Major.
Good morning, Chief. I'm returning your call. Apologize for interrupting you, too.
No problem at all. Did you have an update on the drowning victim?
Yes, I did. That's what I'm calling for, Brian. As of yesterday afternoon, he was listed in critical condition, still alive, and he's in ICU at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. He was not transported to Nashville, not as of yesterday afternoon.
All right. Sounds good. We appreciate the update.
Okay. Thank you. Again, I apologize.
No problem at all.
Good morning, Major. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too, Chief.
And obviously, he was following up, Scott, with the report from Armory Drive earlier in the week where the young military person suffered a drowning incident in the pool out there. We're glad that he is still alive and fighting for life, and hopefully over the weekend we'll have more positive results.
That's true. And his friend is the one who actually saved him. I believe his friend was performing CPR when the paramedics arrived. So, yeah. Wow, hats off to him.
Absolutely. What a difficult situation, but glad you had somebody there that could render aid.
Yeah, definitely so. And the drowning victim, his name was Scott Chance, went underwater, never resurfaced. And his friend, I believe Matthew Tigner, I believe is how you pronounce that.
Right.
He's the one that actually saved Chance on, what night was it? Thursday morning, 1 a.m.
That's right. Yeah, the 5th. About 2 o'clock almost.
Let's take another phone call. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Yeah, I was wondering if the chief could give us any data on people riding around with their license plates covered or partially covered. I heard here a while back about how many tickets they'd given out for loud stereos. I just wondered if they was noticing those license plates. It's pretty sad now. The dealers have started installing them on the cars with frames around them advertising their businesses. Seems to me like that'd be a bigger problem than the loud stereos, but I just want to thank y'all. I'd probably be deaf by now if y'all hadn't given all those tickets out. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. That's a work in progress that continues. As far as the covered license plates and those kinds of things, and I agree with you. I see those that have got advertisements of one type or another around them. If they are, and I don't have any statistics to give you, but I can tell you that as officers are looking for registration violations and those kinds of things, clearly if those renewal decals aren't visible, then that's an issue, and I think that's probable cause for a traffic stop. And I would think, I don't have the code here in front of me, but I'd think that would be a violation that could be citable. And interestingly enough, I think if people do that, that they're actually creating probable cause for a traffic stop that then allows the police, when they have them on a stop, to obviously check their driver license, check to make sure that they have proof of insurance, which those two and the registration and the wheel tax sticker are the things that the police are going to look at to begin with. But then, as I often tell folks, particularly when we're working in inner city areas where we have drug trafficking and gang issues and those kinds of things, that probable cause for a stop, the lawful right to stop a vehicle, not only allows you to check for those things, but then allows you to check to see if somebody may have outstanding warrants on them. And our sheriff's department does a wonderful job. They have a staff that does nothing but serve warrants, but they probably have thousands and thousands of warrants on file. And one of the things that we do when we're out on traffic stops is check to see if there are any warrants or if somebody's wanted, if the vehicle is stolen. There's a whole list of things that you can do on a traffic stop after you have the lawful right to pull somebody over. So I promise you, we're looking for those registration violations, because that typically, unless there's some erratic driving or running a stop sign or crossing a center line or running off the edge of the road, registration violation is probably the most frequently used probable cause for a lawful traffic stop that then lets us investigate further if you've got suspicious activity.
Our number is 893-1450. Let's go to line one. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Good morning, Scott.
How are you?
Good morning.
I'm fine. Doing fine. Good morning, Chief Grissom.
Good morning.
I just want to come in on the fireworks.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I comply with the fireworks law, and I understand that, you know, that the fireworks might set fields on fire. I understand, you know, the law against that. But what I don't understand, you were talking about earlier, I'm talking about the stands being up. Now, I know you said something about they not to sell certain ones out of the city limits. But the one over here on Main Street on the corner of Main and, I think it was Main and Rutherford,
mm-hmm.
right there. Okay, I was by there the other day, and they were selling all kind of rockets and the kind that shoots up in the air and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, If they don't want kids to use them, then they ought not sell them. Like that lady said in the council meeting, it's like giving kids candy and telling them not to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
So if the kids can't shoot the fireworks, then I think they need to stop selling them and putting those tents up to advertise that they got fireworks for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I hang up and I listen.
Well, I appreciate your call, and you're exactly right. I think inside the city, and if it was a fireworks stand at Main Street in Rutherford, there as you turn right and go out toward the Walmart store there on Rutherford Boulevard, if it was there, any of the other fireworks stands inside the city, they have to abide by what the ordinance says that they're allowed to sell and what people are allowed to have in their possession. And if they were selling those things, then they weren't supposed to be. And I know we had police officers that were checking on those stands, and we had codes officials that were checking on them, making sure that they were selling or that they were not selling things that were prohibited. So if they were doing that and they didn't get caught, then shame on them, and their day will come. My belief is that most of those vendors were not selling things that were not allowed, and that's something that we focus on and pay attention to every year. I know I had a discussion with staff 2 weeks before the 4th as those tents were coming up, and one of the things that I asked them to do was make sure we had folks go by all those fireworks stands and check them to make sure that the things they were selling were lawful. So if we missed one, then as I say, shame on them, and there'll be another time.
Right now the time is 8:32, temperature outside inching upwards. It's now 77 degrees outside, and today's high is going to be in the 100s, so another hot day today. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, I promise we'll get to your call. The number is 893-1450. Again, that's 893-1450. The time, 8:32.
Hi, I'm Leon Wyman, owner of A1 Lawnmower Repair.
Hi, I'm Haley.
We're fast, we're friendly, we're knowledgeable, and we're open 6 days a week to service all your lawnmower repair needs. We're located at 3116 Bradeville Road. Take Highway 70 toward Woodbury to the flashing light, turn right, and we're 2 miles on the right. You can check out our website at a1lawnmowerrepair.webs.com. Call us at 563-7352.
My papa can fix it.
Hello, I'm Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers. If you already own a Tag Heuer watch, let our in-house professional watch technician replace your battery and pressure test it. It only takes 1 day, and it's at half the price of our competition, who have to send the watch off for 4 weeks.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton. Have you had your jewelry professionally cleaned and checked lately? Stop in today for your free checkup.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad across from Toots.
HGTV, the leader in home design and know-how, has joined Shaw Floors, the leader in flooring and city tile and floor covering, the largest flooring retailer in our area, to bring you HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw Collection. Doug Young with City Tile.
Come to City Tile and see the new selections of the HGTV products exclusively at City Tile.
Your HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw authorized retailer. Visit citytile.net. City Tile and Floor Covering.
Lay it against sports!
Your football headquarters.
From Under Armour, Shutt, and Reebok, we've got all the gear you'll need for youth football. From pants, helmets, pads, down to the gloves and mouth guards, you'll find everything you need at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane.
Good morning. We've got a bit of congestion this morning coming into downtown Nashville on I-24. The junction there with 40 seeing some build up. Also in Murfreesboro, we've got lots of congestion still this morning on I-24 at the junction there with 96, I-24 at 231, I-24 at Medical Center Parkway. Lots of congestion through there. Stop at Bradford Flooring and Paint Center at 1999 Nolensville Pike. Ask about the free tickets to the races at the fairgrounds this summer. Call Bradford Flooring at 251-5384. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
If you drive a GM vehicle, listen up.
We can do gauge repairs for half the price you're charged at the auto dealer, and it won't take 2 weeks.
This is Amy at Todd's Complete Auto Care Center. We can do it same day.
This is Shelby.
Come see me.
We're on Southeast Broad across from the Discovery Center.
Good morning. The time, 8:35. Temperature outside, 77 degrees. Our guest this morning, Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Chrisman. I understand someone walked into the ER last night with a gunshot wound.
Yeah, it appears so, Scott. Just taking a quick look at a report this morning. Looked like it was some kind of a problem with a debt or don't know what the situation was. Exited a business over on Memorial, and confrontation between this citizen and someone that was sitting in a car outside. I think CC's Pizza was where it was. Some kind of confrontation between him and somebody in a vehicle over an outstanding debt, and I think there were some shots fired. Fella ended up at the medical center, which is where we responded to that call. Man looks like shot in the right upper leg, fled towards St. Clair Street. I don't know that he could give a complete description at that time, but I believe he did know who the suspect was, and I'm sure our criminal investigators will be following up on that today to see if they can put that together and charge that man if the facts are there.
Sounds good. Right now the time, again, 8:36. We'll go ahead and head back to the phones, 893-1450, and good morning. You're on WGNS.
Yes, sir. They were talking about the registration stuff like that a while ago and everything. What can be done about these violators and stuff like that drive the streets and roads of Murfreesboro and go to other counties like Woodbury, Franklin, Shelbyville, stuff like that and everything, to get their tags and stuff like that to avoid buying the wheel tax sticker?
Well, what we did for many, many years, what the county did to try and address and combat that problem, you may remember Bart Smith, he passed away just recently. In fact, for many, many years, he was the county's wheel tax officer and dealt with littering and other kinds of problems that came to the attention of the county and the county court clerk's office. You know, they had somebody that focused just on that. Now, I'm not sure exactly whether they will refill that vacancy after Bart passed or how they're going to handle that going forward. But that was one of the things that they had that position for, was to try to take a little bit more targeted approach when we knew that people were living inside the county but that were going outside the county to buy tags to avoid the wheel tax stickers. You know, outside of that, I think what we all are doing, and when I say all, I mean the Sheriff's Department, the police departments in the municipalities, Tennessee Highway Patrol, I think all of those people are looking for wheel tax validations and those kinds of things at the time that they make traffic stops or when they investigate traffic crashes. And if there are obvious violations, then I think those are going to be cited. But historically, at least, the county had somebody that focused on that, and that was pretty much primarily what their job was day in and day out. And again, that may be a question for Mayor Burgess and whether they continue that or not, or the sheriff. I know toward the end of that time there, Bart Smith had been transferred, I think, from actually working in the county clerk's office or in connection with the county clerk out to the sheriff's office. So that may be something that the sheriff continues. But generally, that's how we handle those.
Let's go ahead and go back to the phones. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Good morning. I just had a quick question. Is there a department within the city that you can contact if, like, a sign is blocking an intersection or, like, a shrub is, you know, blocking? There's like an advertisement sign on the corner of Robert Rose and Thompson, and it's like it says now open. I can't remember what it is, but it, when you're on Robert Rose, you can barely see to turn left onto Thompson Lane. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering, is there, and sometimes I'm teaching my daughter to drive, and we're noticing like bushes that you can't see to, you know, turn safely. And wondered if there was a department to contact in the city or in the county.
There is, and I'll take care of this one for you myself as soon as we have a break or when I get back to the office. But for future reference, when you have a signage issue like that, we actually have a sign inspector in the building and codes department. And you can call them at Building and Codes. That number is 893-3750, 893-3750, and ask for the sign inspector over there, and they will be glad to take a look at that, remove it if it's a visibility obstruction or a problem, and then even follow up on that if you know, you have other sign violations and so forth. Anywhere in the city. But you also, you know, if you see something that's a visibility obstruction like that that's creating a traffic hazard, you can simply call the police department at 893-1311. That's the non-emergency number, 893-1311, and they'll be glad to either forward that to the appropriate place or get somebody to check on it.
And what if it's shrubbery?
Building codes would probably be the best ones to check on that, and that normally that would end up getting sent back through the city system, probably to Urban Environmental, where they'd go out and check, or the street department, just to see if there was needed to be something pruned, whether we needed to do it, if it was in the right of way, or in a lot of cases, homeowners will have plants that will grow out into the right of way, and in those cases, codes would require the homeowners to trim those back and make, you know, whatever changes needed to be made there. And if it's in the right of way, certainly we'd take care of that.
Okay, because there is one in our neighborhood. The trees or the bush has really overgrown. You can't even see the street sign or mm-hmm. anything. And I guess I'm more aware of it since I'm teaching my teenager to drive.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Building codes would be a great place to refer that 893-3750, and I'm sure they'll be glad to help you.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're
Enjoy
welcome.
The show.
Have a great day. Safe driving.
You too.
Let's go back to the phones and line one. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing well, thank you. I want to talk about that the synthetic drugs again. I know they banned them recently, but I've seen where the companies that produce them, they're coming up with new ways to reformulate them to get them to get them where they can bypass certain loopholes where they can make them legal in certain areas. And I think we ought to make them. It don't matter how they do them. We need to make every one of them illegal here and a felony. Mm-hmm. And the users of them. The users of them claim that the effect of it is better than meth or cocaine or something. So something like that, you know, is a danger to the community, and we don't need to have it here. And any kind of formulation they come up with that they claim that they try to get by with through a loophole, all of it, any form of it needs to go, needs to be banned here. Mm-hmm. And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Well, caller is right on point, and that was a loud message that came from law enforcement, from our district attorney generals, from the TBI and others in the last session of the General Assembly, and there was legislation that was passed that outlawed them and did make that a felony. And one of the points, and very much on target, was the formulaic composition of the substances and how chemically they could be altered just very slightly and then be either in compliance or out of compliance with what the statutory definition of the substance was. And when the legislature convened and took that issue up this time, they attempted to put language in place that would address the very concern that the caller has identified, that being, don't have the statute so tight that, you know, they could change one isomer or one part of that formula, and then all of a sudden there's no way to prosecute it or no way to hold people accountable for it. And I think they took that into account with the way the new statute was drawn. They did make it a felony. And I think after a number of horrific kinds of situations all across the state of Tennessee with bath salts and synthetic cannabinoids and all kinds of things, the legislature and law enforcement and the courts across Tennessee got that message loud and clear. And I think the new statute will help us with that, which is not to say that there's not more work to be done, because anytime you write a law, no matter which law it is, they try the best they can to make it as foolproof based on what the experience has been or what the problems have been. So I feel sure that people are trying to get around the law or figure out or try to find a way to do that, and we'll just have to be vigilant, and if we need to adapt that statute or continue to change it, we will.
And if I recall correctly, quite a few people did have to go to the hospital over the past couple of years because of the use of those synthetic drugs.
Oh, yeah. People just literally out of their minds. And then you get into the hospital, and I think our physicians and our emergency room staffs had trouble treating them because they weren't sure exactly what they'd been exposed to or what dosages they'd been exposed to. I don't believe we had any deaths here that I recall, but there were deaths in other part of the state and some very near-death experiences, and some of those did happen here. So we're glad to see that legislation, and hopefully that will head off further problems, but they're still out there.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Are you talking to me?
Yep.
Good morning.
And any politician that's listening, I think it's a waste of time to deal with drugs in this country. I think it's really a joke because, how long have we been talking about this?
Forever.
Thank you. Okay. Have you seen what's going on the border of Mexico?
I watched some of it, yeah. You can't help
but see. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let me ask you. We say it's such a problem in Iraq that we've got a problem. How come that's not don't seem like it's a problem? You understand where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm.
We can take care of everybody but ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But let me go back to the drug thing. Why is it that they made a law so bad all of a sudden the last 30 years? Drugs are so bad. We always talk about freedom, 4th of July listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I remember one time when beer was illegal. You remember those days when all this stuff was illegal?
I remember hearing about it.
Yes, sir. And what I'm saying is, they'll make a law for whatever they want to do. But the thing is, sir, if you don't change the mindset of people, do you think it's going anywhere? Does it seem to be getting any better? But I'm still saying, a person should have a right to do what they want to do. We said we're free.
Mm.
And to me, seems like to me, all this thing have turned into is a money game. Thanks for your time, sir.
Well, I appreciate your call. And Casey's right. I think we can legislate a lot of things. And what our legislators are doing, if we want to talk about synthetic drugs here for a minute, their phones were ringing off the hook from their constituents, from not necessarily just law enforcement people, but from citizens, from emergency room doctors, from prosecutors, from police officers, from judges, from school teachers, from principals, people that had an exposure to that or had some experience with it. And the plea from all those folks to the legislators was, do something about this. And so what legislators do is change the law or enact law. And so they responded in the way that we ask our elected representatives to help us deal with those issues. Now, Casey's right, because there was an old saying way back. I remember an old police officer told me one time, people will do anything that they're big enough to do. And whether it's ignore a ban on fireworks or whether it's, who would have thought when all this stuff with bath salts first came up, who in their wildest dreams would have thought about opening a package of plant food and eating that stuff or mixing it with something and drinking that stuff? Who would have thought to take some kind of an aerosol and sniff that into your body because of, you know, the effect that it would create? So I think Casey's right, because until you change the attitude of people, and until you give them, you know, more productive, creative, life skill kinds of things to focus their lives on, and hopefully that's what we're doing with parenting and schools and mentors and all those kinds of things, I don't know that changing the law or enforcing the law can make all that go away. What we hope to do is exert some kind of influence and control over that, so that for everybody that's out there that's trying to do the right things, that's getting up and working every day and trying to contribute, whether they're working or not, trying to contribute in their way to the society that we live in and making the world around them as good as it can be, so that the people who are involved in criminal activity don't prey on them. I mean, that's really what law enforcement's all about, trying to keep our streets safe and our neighborhoods safe. And that, as Casey and I talk about often, we'll be talking about that long after he's gone and I'm gone, because that work will still be there to do and we'll still be here doing it.
Our guest today is Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Christman. Right now the time is 8:50. We're going to take a short break, and again, the temperature outside is still inching upwards. It is now 79 degrees, and today's high is going to be in the 100s. Again, the time, 8:50. We'll be right back.
Ford of Murfreesboro is the number one volume dealer in Middle Tennessee. See the brand new Ford Fusion Hybrid today. The Fusion has an electric motor powered by an innovative nickel metal hydride battery for reliable service that won't leave you stranded. The Fusion comes with a 2.5-liter Duratec i4 engine or your choice of two powerful V6 engines. Ford of Murfreesboro is on Broad Street at the Northfield intersection, online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hi, this is David Lee, General Manager at Ford of Murfreesboro, and I invite you to come down and see our full selection of Fords and give you the best deal in town.
I would like to say that I dream about recipes and I try to think about what can I do to make a particular food taste good.
Jim Demas at Demas Restaurant.
I love spinach, and I thought, well, what can I do to spinach that was different from what everybody else? And it came to me. I actually did it at our home before we opened the restaurant, and it was a hit at home, so I thought, well, if it's a hit at home, it may be a hit to everybody else.
Eat with a family who truly appreciate your business. Demas Restaurant.
Taylor Guitars are here at Music World and Drummer's Den, South Church Street, across from Indian Hills Golf Course. Taylor Acoustics are the top acoustic guitar line in the United States, and in fact, in the entire world. And this is a great compliment to our Paul Reed Smith electric guitar line, which is a premier line worldwide also. This is Dave Kivanimi inviting you to come over to Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
People ask me, how does Perry Bell sell first quality name brand furniture about half price every day at Bell Furniture? He's learned that if you buy in trailer truckload quantities, you save money. And then instead of making the displays look like a decorator magazine, he puts it all in one big room. That saves money too. Plus, it's only Perry Bell and Linda Ferris there. The overhead is down. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
WGNS Murfreesboro listens to you, and that's why your opinion counts.
Look, we gotta have serious talk.
Hey, we care.
I just want to apologize.
Right now the time, 8:52. Again, temperature outside holding at 79 degrees. Our guest this morning is Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Chrisman. Let's go back to the phones, and good morning. Thanks for holding.
Thank you. Hello?
Good morning.
Yeah, I was calling in. I have a complaint. These little fellas that have these basketball courts and set them beside the streets, mm-hmm. like up out in University and Sevilla and Academy and what have you, and they're playing basketball out in the street. See what I'm saying? You driving a car, you're not going to run over them. They're going to run over you. Because they're playing ball out in the street and they're not paying attention to the traffic's passing.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, is anybody to check on that?
Absolutely. I wrote down University, Sevier, and Academy. Are there other places where you've observed that we need to check
that's
for?
That's just where I noticed that. But,
okay.
I mean, you know, you can understand what I'm saying because, they don't pay attention to the car.
Oh, absolutely. And that is a violation of the code and... Normally, every year when school gets out or when basketball season is kind of at its pitch, we'll get some of those calls from the neighborhoods, and we'll have to focus on that. I'll be glad to get somebody to check on that for you today, and I appreciate you letting me know.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you for calling.
Now, didn't the city pass an ordinance a couple of years back saying you can't have a basketball goal next to the street?
Yeah, you understand why kids would want to do it, because if you can back a goal up, you know, and where we saw a lot of them was in the cul-de-sacs, where you've got that paved surface, and it's a great place to play ball, particularly if you're in a cul-de-sac in one sense. But it's like an old mentor said to me one time, and we've heard it, you know, good intentions lead to unexpected consequences. So you've got a basketball goal, and some people actually cemented them into the ground in the edge of their yards. Problem that that creates is when your trash pickup comes around and is trying to get to trash, if you have fire trucks that are trying to get in and out of those cul-de-sacs, as the caller just said, obviously it's a real danger for the kids if they're out, you know, on a two-way street trying to play ball, because they're playing in between traffic flow, and eventually somebody's going to get hurt in that scenario. So for all of those reasons, safety of the kids, number one, safety of the motorists, number two, access for emergency vehicles in those cul-de-sacs when you have fire vehicles and whatnot that are trying to get in and around there on occasions, ambulances, trash pickup, other utility services. That's against the city code to have that basketball goal on the edge of the roadway there. And we've actually had people that had them in concrete pull them up. And the ones that are on the edge of the road, we ask people to move them. And if they don't move them, I think we've actually confiscated a few of them. So can't put them there.
Our number again, 893-1450. We may have time for one more call, so dial quickly. Again, that's 893-1450. So what is happening this week in the city of Murfreesboro?
Well, I don't think it's this weekend, but it's coming up very quickly on us, Uncle Dave Macon Days, and obviously we'll have thousands of people in our city for that. Looking forward to that annual celebration, and I think we're into full swing of the summer season now, although I say we're in full swing. Today's the 6th. You know, it'll about a month from now, the kids will be back in school, so... vacation season. Hope people are enjoying that. Always at this time of the year, we encourage people to do several things. Make sure and drive safe when you're out there. Buckle up. Certainly don't want you to drive impaired under any kind of substance. And Scott, we say again, you know, you keep seeing these studies come out about distracted driving, texting, talking on the phone to the extent that it distracts you from paying attention to what's going on around you in a motor vehicle. Observing speed limits. One of the things your dad and I talk about all the time is leave early if you're going somewhere and don't rush. You know, that way you're not in such a big hurry to get somewhere and make those accident mistakes that get you hurt or somebody else hurt. And just make sure that if people are traveling for the summer that they're securing their homes and being careful about bank cards and debit cards and identity theft and those kinds of things. Enjoy the summer season and get ready for the fall. It'll be here soon.
We've got about 2 minutes left. Has texting been a big problem in Murfreesboro?
Well, I don't know that it's been a big problem in Murfreesboro. I think if you drive anywhere in an unmarked vehicle, you're going to see that. Commuters probably driving into work every day see it in the lane right next to them. Distracted driving, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety studies and the TDOT studies and the other things that we see, it's just as dangerous as impaired driving. So just remember that, you know, I don't know what that message is that you're trying to communicate via a text message while you're driving a vehicle at 60 miles an hour, but I doubt that it's important enough to risk your life and the life of the people around you. Wait until you pull off somewhere to do that text message. If nothing else, you know, your vehicle needs to be stopped while you're interacting with it in that way, because you're putting yourself in danger and others around you if you're doing it while you're moving.
Now, I see people texting at stoplights. Is that legal as long as they're stopped at a stoplight?
I think the text of the law talks about texting while driving, and I think if we get to the definition, it's going to say while operating a motor vehicle. So my guess would be that from a practical kind of an enforcement situation, a police officer not going to give you a ticket if they see you texting while your vehicle is stopped at a red light. Would it technically be a violation, I suppose? Perhaps. But I think that's not the one I'm worried about. The one I'm worried about is the one that's moving in and out of traffic or driving at road speed and you know, got a...
two thumbs going 100 miles an hour.
Two thumbs going as fast as they can.
Our guest today has been Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Chrisman. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Scott. Always a pleasure.
We'll see you again next month.
Okay. Look forward to it.
Right now the time is 9 o'clock. You're listening to WGNS. Good Neighbor Events with Bart Walker comes your way next.